Hi.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for coming along. We're going to try and do something that gets into Masha's book in a bit more detail. So for those of you who heard Masha this morning, there should be some, there will be stories that you didn't hear from the stage this morning. Just to say that I realised earlier, Masha's had an hour's sleep.
Yep.
And she's also doing this in a language that isn't her own. And I was thinking this morning, you're translating everything in your head before you can share your stories with us, which I'm sure is hard mental work. So I'm going to bear, we will all bear with you if you take a pause and try and get the expression right in English. And I've also found a young friend of mine, Eve, who's there, who's a speaker of Russian and Polish and French and everything else. So if you get really stuck, I'm going to point at you. You're going to help me out. So thanks. Thanks, Eve. So Masha is a founder member of Pussy Riot, as we found out this morning, and is going to inspire us, I'm sure, with some of the stories from this book, Riot Days, which I read and I jotted down how it made me feel. And I think it's a headlong rush of story. It's matter of fact, but it's poetical and shocking and loving and bewildering. And I found that your style of writing just took me into the moment that you were experiencing at the time. And it also made me realise how bloody different Russia is to here, and how it's pretty close to impossible for us to understand the context in which you protest. So that's where I'm starting from. And my first question, and we'll have some questions from you all later too, of course, but my first question is, what made you a rebel? What made you a protester?
Oh my God. I don't think that I'm, you know, something special. I mean, I don't like when something unfair is happening, and I think I'm not the only one at this point. I think kind of all of you, if you will see that something bad is happening, you will try to stop it. It's I think it's very human feeling. I just feel it from my childhood, and that's it.
So were you a rebellious child?
I was quite a troubled child. Maybe I'm not, I mean, I'm not sure that I'm not a child now. But yeah, well, I mean, it's how to answer this question. What makes you rebel? I don't know. All what I'm doing from my heart. It's how I feel. I need to do. And but the thing is that a lot of us sometimes we need to do something. You know, need this feeling to act, but not a lot. Not all of us follow this feeling. This is, I think, the difference. And I wrote this book. I told all the stories because it's like big number of stories, like small stories inside, let's say, big one. And all of them are stories of choice. When you decide not to stay aside from the situation, but to do something. And that's the reason is to tell all this big story to make you guys have your own stories. Because I believe that each of us have this simple choice to do something or not to do. So, and then it's no borders at this choice. no language barriers. It's very simple, but when you decide to do it, maybe sometimes maybe you can feel that it's not simple, and you will start reflect and blah 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 blah. So this is for choice of doing.
So it's one thing to be a rebel in Russia, but from my understanding of Russia, it's another thing to be a woman who rebels. And so I think of you as being particularly brave to not only be a rebel, but to be a female rebel. Are there stories from your past, your history of women who have done that, who've inspired you?
Well, you're right. In Russia, there are a number of stereotypes which exist in society, that kind of expectations that if you're a girl, you should, like, you know, be soft and follow and blah blah blah, and if you not agree, they can call you some bad words. But it's, you know, it's not you know, the biggest set in the world. It just happens. People sometimes saying bad words about you. It's not a reason to stop. maybe they just don't understand what they're saying, or maybe they, I don't know. Anyway, I do not, I don't separate men from women in the case of inspiration. I think it's, whom I can mention. Let me think. I don't know, I like fairy tales. That's probably why I wrote a book in this style. It's a fairy tale, it's quite dark, but it's funny, believe me. I made everything to make it funny. It's not Solzhenitsyn.
It's one of those, it's a strange book in that it is very easy and simultaneously very hard to read. It's easy because of the way that you've made it very accessible and you've written it in a very accessible way, but the stories are very hard.
Because if you not make fun about yourself, you will become a very boring person. And it's happening very fast. You know Borat? Borat. So this is probably an example. But he's a man, but it doesn't matter, I think. Let's continue. I will mention somebody. I just
okay, no, it's fine. I don't want to rush you. talking about the matter of fact nature of some of the stories in the book, I asked Masha if she'd prefer if I read some of it for her to give her a bit of a rest. I just want to read a couple of examples from the book as we go through. And do you mind if I start with the story of you being searched when you, just a quick up sum for people who went there this morning, following the protest in the cathedral in Moscow and a trial.
With bending over?
Yeah.
Okay.
Can I
just explained, so that it's a first moment when you see the, let's say, jail inside, like the... I just heard a lot of questions, like, tell me about your, like, first moment. So this is first moment.
Yeah. So it's called Standard Procedure. Do you know what happens in the first hours in prison? A search. They take you out of the dark autozac in handcuffs and bring you to a room. Two bright fluorescent lights hang from the ceiling. The paint is peeling from the walls, and in the corner there is a small cage. This is where they do the search. Two women in uniform take away all your things. Phone, watch, books. These things are prohibited. Then they tell you to get into the cage. Take off your clothes, all of them. I took off my skirt, which was patterned with loud blue checks, my T-shirt and my underwear. I stood there naked in a cage on the cold stone floor. Now do 10 squats. Why? So we can make sure you don't have anything hidden there. I squatted 10 times. Now bend over. What? Too many questions. Just imagine. You think it's nice to stand naked in front of cops? I think anyone would have the same reaction in this situation. But once I gave an interview to someone who insisted that for most people, it's no big deal. That people are not as sensitive to humiliation as I think. That once a person is in jail, nothing surprises you. Well, that's simply not true. If you stop being surprised by such things, you'll be turning your backside to them and bending over for the rest of your life.
Thank you.
And I wanted to ask, I mean, we touched on it a bit this morning, but if I was ever in your situation, I would be the quiet, good girl that did whatever she had to do in order to get past the time and get out of there. And I'm just in...
it's actually a difference between men in Russia. In the United States, it's different. I think you've seen Orange is the New Black, some of them? Hmm? Okay. So in Russian prisons, it's not like this. This is a difference between men prisons and women. So what you said, it's very common for women's camps, because we don't have prisons, we have labor camps. Because, you know, the first thing which prison guards are used to push you to obey is your family. And in Russia, I mean, it's quite universal, but in Russia it's like, I think it's stronger. Women really like want to go back to their families who still have them. And they say that you follow our rules, doesn't matter how stupid they are, you will obey all what we are saying. Otherwise, we will cancel calls, all the telephone calls with your children. We will cancel all the visits with your family. Your family will crush. It's the words they use. I mean, and it's actually happening. They crushing these families. And that's how women became, you know, prisoners. Because, yeah, it's very, very, very rare when women decide to protest and to say that, I don't give a fuck what you're saying to me. I just will not do this. Because it's against the law, actually. It's what they are doing. This is, I mean, officially they can do it by law, but they cannot at the same time. So this paragraph is very, you know, flexible. So at the end of the story, they were coming to me like only with like this metal searcher and without it. No. With like, you know, in the airport they check this with this So, yeah. So it's possible. You just have to spend some time and some of your, you know, patience. Because they also don't want to act differently as they used to.
Because one of the other things, the other pressure on you was that there were women around you, prisoners around you, saying, why are you doing this? You're making your own life and our lives more difficult by your insistence on protest. And that's I'd imagine that's a massive emotional burden to carry. How did you cope with that?
How? I mean, you understand, if you have the term of 10 years and you have to spend in this with this administration 9 or 8 years more, and some pain in the ass like me is coming to your life and make it very uncomfortable, you will become very angry. And yeah, there were a lot of prisoners who actually were kind of unhappy with, you know, but it's not about comfort, I think. It's about the change. And sometimes change is uncomfortable. So how did I explain it to me? I mean, all these fights with prison guards, it was not my, you know, first step. It's them who tried to do something with me. I was just like keeping, I don't know how you call it in English.
Wait, try it in Russian and maybe...
Оборона. Оборона? When you try to protect yourself?
Yeah. I'm going to read a little bit more if I can.
Yeah.
Because I think that...
I think it's reading is much more better than my speech.
I'm not going to start again telling you how amazing I think it is that you do these interviews in English. It makes me. I can do it in Welsh, but I feel that won't be the most helpful.
I never heard Welsh, by the way. Never.
Well, we could pick that up after, maybe. So one of the things that there's no reason why I wouldn't know, but you expect that things have improved somehow in the prison system, you know. And when I was reading about the reality of how you describe life, I just want to read a little bit about your life in the gulag. Am I right to call it gulag? Yeah. So they transferred me to a cell on my own for my safety. I agreed. It's November, snow. In the Urals, there is so much snow that my legs sink in it on the way from the unit barracks to the disciplinary block where the single cell is. Legs disappear in the white sea. I have to keep walking. If I collapse in the snow from exhaustion in front of the disciplinary block, I'll never forgive myself. Never. This is your cell. It's so dark. When I lower the bunk bed, it screeches like bones being crushed. The door closes. I sit on the bench. I need to understand what has happened. I need to understand. The turn my life has taken, my life in prison. Hold on. I have to remember things in the proper order. I need order. Order. Lights out. Alyokhina, get into bed. It's not a bed. It's a bunk. Two long wooden boards held up by black chains. On the bottom is my bed. And on the top one, nothing. It's empty. They took all my things. They took everything from me. The surveillance camera is over in the corner, right above the shithole on the floor. Don't cry. Just don't cry. The thing that you're mental strength is astonishing. And it's that you're holding up, it's yourself that you don't want to let down. Where does that mental strength come from?
I don't know. I mean, I really don't know. It's not, I don't know, it's... It's important even if you... I don't know, I just... how to answer this question? From the heart, I don't know. It's not something which we can count. It's about honesty with yourself, I think. It's about honesty with yourself, and also, well, later in this chapter, that will be a moment in a disciplinary commission. So the thing is that we all have, you know, difficult situations where we making choices. So the thing is that here, is it's working like you make this choice, and probably like tomorrow you will wake up and something else will happening, and you will kind of forget about that, what happened yesterday, and again and again, and a lot of people you will meet, and a lot of, you know, things will happen, but there is a like total isolation. And the choice which you make there, they are staying with you for forever. You will never forget them. And that's why you understand how important it is to fight for yourself and for your internal freedom. Because if somehow you will give up, you will become how they are calling you, a prisoner. So that's how I probably start to think that prison, it's not about, you know, governmental or state walls. It's not about the place where somebody can, like, put you suddenly, especially in Russia. It's about your own understanding. Not understanding, but... it's how you're ready to fight for yourself. And like this. Maybe I'm not... it's hard to explain.
I think you've... It's a good explanation. I'm, you know, it's the difference between someone like you who has lived this protest and many of us who are trying to understand you. You are, in some ways, unless we're inside your head, we can't understand the amount of resilience that you have. There was one part in the book where you went to, I know it's a very complicated relationship between Pussy Riot and the church, which we talked about quite a bit this morning. There's one moment in the book where after the protest, you go and you speak to a priest in another church in Russia. And I so wanted him to be better than he was.
Maybe after some time he became better than he was. Maybe he was just like, maybe that was just mourning for him. I mean, maybe he just didn't think what did he say. So the thing is that after Pankreas, the criminal case was opened like in several days, and the charge was up to 7 years, and that was in all news, and we ran away from our houses and start to, you know, hide in different conspiracy flats, is how we called them, and we gave an interviews from toilets and different cafes, so a lot of like really funny stuff. And so the thing is that the level of hatred which they provided from TV against us was so high that I just couldn't believe that it's me they are talking about, like, you know, really serious criminals went against All Saints, what we have in our nation, so we should catch them and like really punish them and blah 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 blah. So the thing is that in maybe third or fourth day I went to the church, like to one of the church in the center of Moscow. I was just walking because other girls were sleeping in the flat. And I met a priest there inside the church. Of course, he didn't recognize me because our faces were not on TV. We were just like a Pussy Riot. And I asked him, did he hear about the song in the cathedral? And he said yes. And I said, asked, did he know about a criminal case was opened? He said yes. And I asked, what does he think about this? And he said, like, it's right, they should be punished. And, well, that was quite sad because, you know, when you hear something from TV, it's one thing. It's just like a picture, especially in Russia, it's propaganda. But when you hear about a live person talking that you should sit in prison up to 7 years because you 40 seconds sang one verse and one chorus, that's quite, this is not right. But yes, and about previous question, I think it's also, so just, I think you all have in your life these people who just think that they are big bosses just because somebody, just because they have this power, you know, to somehow say what you should do. Not because the law like this, but because just they want like this. And these prison guards in Russian prisons, they think that they are kind of small gods inside this, you know, small space. And they behave with women like with, I don't know, not slaves, but like with garbage. And when you understand that, you should at least just try to put them to the situation when they will just stand up to the earth for 5 minutes, like, you know, usual people, and answer to the questions, because they are not, you know, quasi-gods. They are just the personnel of prison, and that's it. So when you see it, it's just, you can do it only for the one moment when you see this face changing, like, totally. From the very, like this, to like this.
When they see that you're not garbage, they see that you mean what you say. That you mean business, we might say in English. This woman, she means business.
It's good. In Russian, we don't have it.
I just want to get on to one point before I ask if there are any people here who have questions, and I'm sure there will be. But it's just you'll have heard about the Me Too movement.
Yeah, definitely.
And I was, when I read the description about what your lawyer, how she talked about women, that kind of, it fascinated me. This is the last bit that I'm gonna read out. I suppose my question will be to you afterwards is, how do women get brave and how do we show our bravery? So this is called...
I was the only girl in the all, you know, lawyer story of my lawyer. She was working only with, like, men prisoners who, like, hard recidivists and hard protesters in men prison camps. So I was the only girl. So it was not easy to get her.
So she's Oksana Darova. So Oksana Darova. I'm sorry for my accent.
It's okay.
If I'm sorry.
Oksana
for...
is that Oksana.
Right? Okay. Dark brown eyes, a short blonde, wearing jeans and a jacket. She's my lawyer. I am Oksana's only female client. I don't like working with women, was the first thing she said when we met. Why not? Because they're all hens. The only thing they know how to do is cluck. If you press them on anything, they immediately take it all back. She is honest. She could have spoken about women more politely, but she speaks honestly. What can we do so that women stop being hens, I ask her, looking her straight in the eye. We can dispute the prison guard's disciplinary orders against you in court. They'll get scared, that's for sure, Oksana says. She doesn't quite believe that I really want this court action. It won't change anything, of course, and it will make my life infinitely more complicated. I realise that I love complications. So I suppose what I'm after is any advice you can give us on the topic of bravery and how women can be more brave.
What do you mean, how? Be honest and not afraid. And don't give a fuck what people are saying about you. And how often they are saying this about you.
And I suppose the other thing is... It was really good for us this morning to understand that how important the support and us watching your story keenly outside of Russia. So I suppose it's supporting women who maybe if you can't do the brave thing, you can support the person who is doing the brave thing.
Yeah, it's definitely right. I mean, well, without a support of people... I think this story would be different because, you know, during the court, for example, every day our lawyers bring letters from artists, from just usual people that they are with us. And this, you know, with us, it breaks all the walls. Here, it's maybe, if you write to some prisoner, maybe here it's just 5 minutes of your life, but there is, you know, it means a lot.
Thank you. I think that's enough from me. I'm really keen to get some questions from you in the audience. And if there are any young women, boys, especially, who are just getting... them courage up to ask questions at Greenbelt. You're especially encouraged by us. You go first, girls. Where are you? I think someone's going to take a mic round. So, or if you want, you could make your way to the front, whichever's easier. Great. Are you happy, Masha? The questions are going to come.
First of all, thank you very much for your courage and for what you've done. And I've bought your a book, and I'm looking forward to it. But my question is, in the future, how worried are you about your security and your safety? I think of the Litvinenko, I think of the Salisbury poisonings, I think of other things. Are you concerned about your well-being in the future, that something might happen? And how much do you think that the Russian state is watching you now?
So, the thing is that I'm not allowed to leave Russia. I'm banned from leaving my country. But it's not a mirage. It's real me. I'm here because it's important to me. About safety, I'm not thinking because, it's not about, it's about, not only about Pussy Riot, it's about all the, I think, activists. Russia is very unpredictable territory, so you don't know now what will happen. And this is two options. You can be afraid about this, or you can accept it as a strange surprises. I don't know what will happen when I will come back, but let's see. Something will.
So another question.
I can tell you actually why I'm banned for leaving Russia. This so we made two actions in December. In December of 2017, of last year, on 20th of December, we have in Russia. I know it sounds strange, but it's an official celebration of, it's like a day of KGB. Of Cheka, which is like the organ from 20s, which started a red terror, which became an NKVD and KGB and FSB. So an official celebration with, you know, a huge concert was actually a church chorus inside that. Celebrating a KGB, singing songs, how proud they are for all of that. It's not George Orwell, it's Russia, 21st century. So we came to the front of FSB doors with a huge banner, "Happy Birthday, Executors." And after that, it was the first time when I've seen Lubyanka from the inside. So I received 40 hours. I spent some day as a police cage a night, and next day I received 40 hours of community service works. And then in April this year, we came with the colorful paper plans also to the front of FSB and start to throw them. Because a paper plan is a symbol of only free messenger in Russia, which FSB decided to ban this spring. So we've been arrested. We spent 48 hours also in the cage. And then I received more, like 100 hours of community service. So I received to do it all these community service works, because I think our actions is better than community service works. That's how they stopped me. They banned me to leave Russia, so I cannot go to the airport, train station, bus station, any station. Yeah, so now we can move.
I want to ask you about that, but I can't. I'm going to let the woman at the back. Go ahead, please.
Masha, спасибо тебе. I apologize for my accent.
Oh, привет, да.
So the context for this is I have visited the Gulag Perm 36 and I have visited a Russian prison village, and I know there are people here who would, many people here who would say, we see you and thank you and we are here. And in this context, for queer people, we know what's happening with the queer people in Russia and for women in Russia and for trans people in Russia. What can we do in practice? What can we do for the women who are in prison and the queer people who are in prison? Because like we can write letters and we can tweet and it's a long way away. What can you advise us, please?
Provide the direct help for those people whom you know, if you know somebody. Because I believe that community is stronger than government, and we can help each other.
Thank you.
Is there another question? Oh, there's one right in the middle there.
Amazing weather.
Mike's coming to you. Actually, do you know what? If you could move forward, I think there's some people we could help in from the rain.
At least we will hear you.
Thank you. Come in, people who are half in the rain.
Все так хорошо зашевелились. Класс. Nice.
Should have done that half an hour ago. Sorry, people in the rain. I know you're wearing a flowery headband. Go ahead. And you have the mic.
So, if you're banned from leaving Russia, how did you get out of Russia?
On magic way. in by pony, small horse. Like this.
You don't have to say if it's going to compromise something.
Yeah, magic way of pink pony.
Yeah.
I've said.
I think we're going to leave it there. Other questions? There's a question there. There's a couple of questions at the front. So, we're making you work. Oh, and the rain stopped just as we all came in. But hey, we're making friends.
Здравствуйте. Я хотел сказать спасибо большое. But I also wanted to ask, what hope is there in Russia, because we hear, you know, enough about the negative things that go on, but how do we know that times are changing, if indeed they are? And, you know, are you alone in this? What are the positive signs? Yeah, is there hope? Can we have hope from the outside, I suppose?
Of course you can. Why not? Well, these things which you called negative things are not made by us, but we are an opposite, and it's not only me who is sitting here. It's a lot of people, and especially during last 6 years after our trial, when we went out, I met really amazing people who are younger than me and who became an activist because of our case, who supported us for years, and some of them became a part of our team. So this is another Russia, and is exist. And I'm here also to... to say to you that we exist. Not only those assholes from Kremlin about whom you probably hear more often than about us, but we exist. And I don't think that there is a final, you know, result of absolute happiness which we all can receive, but it's a process, and each step of this process is important, because maybe for you, for me, I don't know, for anybody, it's just one step, but for somebody who is making it with you, it's maybe a change of his... Well,
you're gonna have to...
Okay.
I don't think the mics are quite there yet.
Yeah.
Who needs a mic, right? Got blue lights. Ah, there you go. You're on.
Well, maybe it's not, you know, a very popular answer, but for me, solidarity in general is very important. It's actually how I'm living and how we as a Pussy Riot are doing things. We are collective. But it's not only female. But it's feminist.
And I think there was... Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
I was going to say, there was another question. Off you go.
How long what?
How old were you when you first went to prison?
First. Well, that was first. How old are, 1 second, 23, I think. Yeah, 23.
How old are you? 11. Mm. Yeah, so you my can put it off for 12 years.
My son is 11.
And he's coming here tomorrow, Masha,
yeah,
is that right?
Yeah, he just landed in London.
So if you see Masha and her son, who doesn't speak any English, and actually if you're a vicar and you see Masha, maybe it would be good if she met some really lovely male and female clergy. There's a gentleman there. Yeah.
Last month I was delighted to see Pussy Riot bringing the attention of the World Cup final crowd and a global TV audience.
They just did not know that that was Pussy Riot. It's okay. well, all this, you know, decoration of the celebration of the World Cup is Hippocratic, we believe. Because, well, people who went with the protest during the World Cup went to jail immediately. In the old cities, all the protests, even the single protest with like a small banner was banned. Is it how the country should work? I believe not. And this is not only about the World Cup, it's about the current situation in Russia. You can be jailed for the Facebook post or for retweet on political reasons. And we have a number of human rights defenders, activists, artists, just usual people who were just like before that out of politics, who they opened the criminal cases against them and they are in jail now. And the statement which Pussy Riot done during the World Cup going to the field is that we are against this behavior with citizens. We are against criminal articles for likes on Facebook, and we are stand up for freedom for all the political prisoners who are now jailed in Russia.
More questions? We've got time for one more. Ah, oh, there's a woman there.
You mentioned the priest who you met in the church. Are there any rebellious priests? Are there any who are rebellious?
Oh, yeah.
Like
yeah.
How do we connect with them?
Connect. About connection, you can write me and I will send you, like, the contacts if you're interested. But about examples, there are examples, but they are... so I was a volunteer before I've been arrested in 2008 or 2009. I was a volunteer in the group of Christian volunteers. We visited a mental hospital for girls, for teenagers. We were drawing with them, like talking, I don't know, writing list of wishes, a lot of things. There was a head of this Christian movement. So when we've been arrested when the court started, he wrote a paper to the judge that he approved. He just approved that I was a volunteer. He didn't write anything except this. And after that, he was fired from this church. And after I've been released, some people wrote me, men who used to work in the church as a priest and who left the church after our case because they understood that it's just unfair and they cannot do nothing inside, but they will try outside somehow.
I'm going to finish there, but I want to conclude just by reading a very short bit from your book, which I think will stay with us all really. So it's about the choices you were making in prison.
Oh, yeah. This.
And if I accept their authority by agreeing to lies about violating the regime, I would be submitting to. I'd be pleading guilty to a crime I didn't commit. Such moments of choice made in prison will stay with you for the rest of your life. These decisions become the most important ones you ever make, because you can't forget anything you do here within the prison walls. Once you betray yourself, even a single time, you can't stop. You become another person, a stranger to yourself. You become a prisoner. And that means you have been defeated. They will truly have deprived you of your freedom. So thank you very much to Masha.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much.
And this is her book, Riot Days. And I commend it to you all, and actually especially to young women, because you are truly a remarkable woman who has so much to teach all of us. And thank you for being with us at Greenbelt. And Masha is doing other sessions, and the Pussy Collective are doing other sessions. So you can hear more from her throughout the weekend. Thank you, everybody, so much.